Most of our habits are formed early in life. That's especially true when it comes to our health and the ways that we care about ourselves. This is why the latest stats about childhood obesity are really so alarming. There are some who say that these recent numbers are an anomaly caused by the COVID lockdown. Don't worry, everything will be okay. It'll all balance out. Is that true? Or is what we're seeing a warning sign for the health of children and a magnification of a problem that has been long time existing? This issue has been a huge concern for my first guest. He's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon, sports psychologist. He served as team physician for the U.S. Alpine Ski Team, U.S. Ski Jumping Team. He's also author of the book Survival of the Fit. We say good morning to Dr. Daniel O'Neill. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
My pleasure, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Survivalofthefit.net. Learn more about the doctor's book and his interest and focus on this very important issue. Just to get to some of the latest stats from the CDC, and this is from late 2021, most recent ones we have, they found estimated 22% of children and teens were obese. That's up from 19% a year earlier. Before the pandemic, kids who were a healthy weight were gaining an average, get ready for this, of 3.4 pounds a year. That rose to 5.4 pounds during the pandemic. For kids who were moderately obese, expected weight gain rose from 6.5 to 12 pounds after the pandemic started. And for severely obese kids, expected annual weight gain went from 8.8 to 14.6 pounds. That is a, no pun intended, Arthur, that is a sizable problem. Are we showing proper concern for it?
I don't think we are, Chris. And again, you use the numbers. Whatever numbers you come up with, they're extraordinary. Whatever rubric we want to use to look at this problem, it's off the chart, and nobody is paying attention to this problem the way we should be.
And it really is easy to, I don't say this to be sarcastic or flippant, but if you want to understand what the childhood obesity problem is where you are specifically, there's I think, an easy way to do that. If you're sitting behind a school bus, either in the morning or afternoon when they're either loading or unloading, look at the kids. If you see a large number of kids who are by visually morbidly obese, overweight to some degree, that would be a pretty good clue of what your backyard literally is dealing with this issue.
Yeah, we call that face validity in some research. You just have to look. What does it look like is going on? Does it look like kids are healthier? Are the ball fields covered with kids every time you drive by? Are kids out on their bicycles and running around playing with each other? No. As you say, you just look around, you open your eyes at the beach, at a school bus stop, anywhere. The kids are terribly out of shape and obese and sick, and they're truly sick.
The doctor mentioned, too, about numbers. You can look at numbers, and they do have wide swings. For example, in New Jersey, obesity rate for kids ages 10 to 17, sure, it's below a 35 percentile mark, which four more states joined that degree in the last report. But New Jersey's number is 13.8%. When you think, I believe there's 6 million kids 10 to 17 in the state, 13.8%, Doctor, that, too, is a lot of kids.
Right, and in certain parts of the country, and for sure down south, things are worse. But that doesn't make you feel any better, because the kids up here are minimally better off than they are in other places. It's a mess no matter how you look at it, no matter how you measure it. And as you say, the COVID just put a punctuation mark on everything. This was coming down the pike for years and years, and nobody is paying attention to it.
What's the root of this problem? Because certainly, maybe this is part of why it expanded too, is the lack of school nutrition programs during the lockdown probably added to the existing problem. But what's the responsibility, for example, of parents? Because if parents have poor dietary habits, well, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah, it's an amazingly complex issue, but the two main problems are, number one, bad food, and number two, screen access. And these kids are spending, hours and hours and hours on their two-dimensional entertainment every day, and the little bit of structure that they had before COVID got lost, and now what we did was we had the kids getting on their screens for school even more so than they already were doing. And as soon as that child opens up that screen, whether it's a phone, whether it's a computer, whatever it is, Now they have access to their pusher. Now their drug pusher, and their drug pusher is selling them bad food. Their drug pusher is selling them two-dimensional entertainment and social media. And now you're giving that person more access. And that has just led to those numbers that you talked about.
And it's also adding to sedentary behavior. Again, looking at New Jersey numbers, of 10 to 17-year-olds physically active at least 60 minutes, 22.7%. Compare that with same age group, high computer usage, 46.5%.
Again, the numbers just are overwhelming. And what happens is that the 15 and the 18-year-olds out there, they are already addicted. If you have a child right now who's 15 or 18 and they're not getting off the couch, guess what? To try to get them off the couch is almost impossible because, again, they are truly addicted to these problems. And so as parents, we really have to get the children young. My brother was telling me about his granddaughter's soccer game. She's 6 years old, and I pointed out that they're making changes at the age of seven. Children are choosing a life onto the couch as early as the age of seven. We've got to get them before that because that's going to lead to a life of obesity. And obesity is not an aesthetic problem. It really means diabetes and high blood pressure and depression and anxiety and all kinds of other horrible things.
All right, Dr. Daniel O'Neill, board-certified orthopedic surgeon, sports psychologist, author of the book Survival of the Fit, website survivalofthefit.net, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Maybe that's what we should be focusing, because if you get so technical with nutrition, well, that's out there. Let's talk about the risks to a child who is obese to any degree, because that might just hit a little more closer to home and might get the right people to listen and start doing the right things here.
Right, and the right thing, Chris, is having physical education for every child, every day, every year of school. And this is what my book talks about and builds the case for. And what the parents have to do is go to their administrators and their principals, because that is our only hope. As you point out, the fast food companies are not going to try to sell us less fast food. The Call of Duty inventors are only going to try to invent a more addictive Call of Duty video game. We have to fight this with a positive, and that positive is to get our children addicted to Mother Nature, which is their natural state. A two-year-old doesn't want to be on a screen. A two-year-old wants to be eating dirt and playing with puppy dogs. We have to continue to let them have that behavior, and the way we can do that is to have physical education every day, every year of school, so that these kids continue to play, continue to be outside, and continue to be healthy, because that's the natural state, and that's the positive we can fight this scourge with.
Which, that's something New Jersey mandates, but surprisingly not every state does.
No, Chris, I had on my website is actually an interview with one of a New Jersey administrator, and they can say that the states can say we want, you know, a physical education. And by the way, the only state that tried to do that was Illinois, and it failed miserably. Physical education for every kid every day. So it really is, that's where the school districts come in. And sadly, as you can guess, the richer school districts seem to have a better grade for getting kids doing this more often, and the poorer school districts fall behind. It's the same old story. So it's the poor kids that are getting worse and worse, I want to say medical care, because that's what this really is. Physical education is really medical care for these children, except it's a lot cheaper than bringing a child to a doctor.
A lot of the poorer schools, too, they've had to expand, to literally put trailers for extended classrooms where the playgrounds used to be. So that's, again, another element situation. Just to wrap up things here, Doctor, for the parent who's listening to what we're talking about here and coming to the realization, you know what, they're talking about my kid. What's one of the first and most important things that parents should do as soon as they turn off the show later on?
Empty the pantry out of ultra-processed foods. Negotiate with your child's screen time, and then get a copy of the book and go over to your principal and your administrator and say, why aren't we doing this in our school district? Those are three really simple moves that the parent can make, as you say, as soon as they soon as they get, get off the radio and get off the phone, they can do those things. And it's going to make an incredible difference. And it's cheap and it's easy. And that's what's going to make a difference.
Dr. O'Neill's book is Survival of the Fit, the website where you can find out more about it. More importantly, get a hold of it, survivalofthefit.net. Dr. Daniel O'Neill, thank you so much for the awareness you raised on this very important issue. Thank you for being here today.
Chris, always my pleasure. I can talk about this for hours and hours, and thanks for bringing this up.